Well, happy Sabbath to everyone. It's great to see the sun out there. I love the sparkle that it brings on the wintry days. I'd like to welcome all of our visitors. We have a few today. We're glad you're with us here. We always enjoy gathering on God's Sabbath day as His family. It's very, very wonderful. Hopefully you had a good week, and we can look forward to fellowshipping with time together afterwards. I'm trying to start my timer here, and the Home Depot app came up. That's not a good sign. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what's going on. There we go. Well, how many of you can name your four grandparents? Quite a few. Do you know your grandparents? Thinking back to those times that you've been together, I was thinking about some of the family history in our household. I only knew three of mine. The biological grandparent on my dad's side died when I was an infant. I never knew her. Her name was Velda. I see pictures, but I don't really know much about her. But my grandfather did remarry, and so I have stories from that side of the family, on the McLean side, where we spent a lot of time together, and I had grandparents that were quite fun to be together with. We often would come down on birthdays, and we'd go out for special treats and that kind of thing. And then on my mother's side, my grandpa died when I was in the fourth grade. So he taught me how to catch and throw a baseball. He bought my first ball glove, and we had a lot of fun together. But after about age 9 or 10, I don't have no memories of him because he died. So that's why I say I only knew three really closely. But it was a lot of good times there. And I think most of us, if we reflect back on those family gatherings, we have hopefully very similar experiences. Hopefully you have wonderful memories. I know not always the families are peaceful in that regard. I know there can be difficult times, but hopefully they're good memories. According to Ancestry.com, only 53% of Americans can name all four of their grandparents. So if you can do that, it's quite a blessing. And I'm very grateful that we have that in our family, and hopefully the same for you. But all of us have a family tree, don't we? Maybe you have a historian in the family that keeps track of the records, the birth dates and all the anniversaries and those kind of things, and can share memories from the people of the past. Cynthia's family has an aunt and uncle that they've tracked all the family history back to soldier that was defected, actually, became a part of the family and was given a land grant in Pennsylvania. It's quite a fascinating story. And they lay this whole thing out on the table. It's about the size of a sheet, and all the tree is mapped out, and you can see all the names. It's pretty amazing. And on the McLean side, we don't quite have that. Nobody's really tracked that. They kept track of those records for us. So it's not maintained in that way. But Ancestry takes a lot of time. There are a lot of websites, and you can pay to have things done, and you can look up the records and that kind of thing. It's fascinating, but it can also be startling to see what you find. But today, what I'd like to do is go through an ancestry lesson. And I want to recount a story as we start. That's right, I have a clicker. Is my clicker going to work? I got to point it back here, right, Brian? Is it coming up? Oh, I got to turn it on. I'm going well today. There we go. I want to talk about Abraham. Yeah, you don't have to write all this down. If you'd like it, I'll be glad to share it with you. But let's go through one of our ancestors, Abraham. At 75, he departed from Haran on his way to Canaan. That's in Genesis chapter 12. He travels with his nephew Lot, and then Lot chooses the plain of Jordan, and they separate. Abram moves on to Hebron, and then later he has to go back and rescue Lot. This is when we get the story of where he ties to Melchizedek, a very important principle from Scripture. God then promises Abram an heir. That's in Genesis 15. And he makes a maledictory covenant with Abram. It's important for us as we come up to the spring holy days to realize that event. Then 11 years click by, and Ishmael is born, right? Sarai offers her maid to Abram in an effort to kind of help God's plan along. We know that story. Things didn't work out too well. But that's what took place. Then at age 99, God appears to Abram again, and he changes his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. And he changes Sarai's name to Sarah, which means princess or woman of nobility. And then 1 year later, shows up the son of promise, right? Isaac is born. So why is all this important to us? Well, we've become Abraham's seed. Turn with me over to Galatians chapter 3. We have become Abraham's seed by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians 3 and verse 26 through 29. I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation. I like some of the phrases that are here. A little better than the New King James. So that's just a brief history. We can do away with that for now. Galatians 3 and verse 26. It says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ." Like putting on new clothes. That's an analogy I think we can all relate to. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ," that's a little bit of a modern Christianity phrase. I don't care for that, but it's written here in the New Living. This is what I like and why I chose this in the New Living. "You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. We are Abraham's children. We may not be able to connect it in the family tree that we might have on our dining room table, if you have one of those, or in your record books. But according to the spiritual tree that we have, we are Abraham's children. It's an amazing truth that Paul relays to us. And it's actually one of our fundamentals of belief, which is why I'm talking about it today. It's a fundamental truth that we need to understand and recognize with great clarity. God gave tremendous promises to Abraham. And as Abraham's seed, we will inherit the same promises. So the question we're going to answer today is, what are the promises to Abraham? What are the promises to Abraham? And I've entitled this message, "In You and Your Seed." In you and your seed. So we're going to do the Cliff Notes version because there's a lot to this. We won't have time to cover everything in depth. I'm going to go high level today. But I've split this up into three sections. The first section will be the promises, the actual promises that God gave. The second section is we'll go through the physical promises, because we know there's a physical, and then there's also the third section, which will be the spiritual promises. So let's look at section number one, the promises to Abram. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I've really tried to condense what we're going to cover today. Hopefully it won't be too much for you to digest. Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 1. We're going to switch back to the New King James for most of the message. Now keep in mind, this is after Abram had been in Haran. And God appears to him here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So I'd like to take some time. We want to break this down a little bit to help us understand what's going on. Verse 1, God gives an instruction. He says to leave his current dwelling place. Leave the current dwelling place. I want to show you a slide. Here's what the map looks like. The current train of thought is that Ur of the Chaldees was way down in the right corner of that map. So when the journey starts, he travels, as we read back in chapter 11, that he travels with up to Haran, which is the top of the screen there, and that's where his father dies. So he doesn't actually then start the journey to the land of Canaan until after that takes place. This is a pretty long distance. I didn't actually look up the length of it, but it is quite a distance to travel, and it's split up in multiple phases. So then he travels from Haran down to the land of Canaan. Now keep in mind, they probably walked. They probably walked, or they might have ridden camels at the time. It wasn't like we get in our car and we can do this in maybe 3 or 4 hours. This would have been quite a journey. This is what he starts out his life with God. He left Ur with his father Terah, his nephew Lot, and his wife Sarai, and they go to Haran, and that's where Haran dies. This comes from the New Living Study Bible. I would highly encourage, if you like these kind of things, to pick up a copy. They're about $50 or so on ChristianBookstore.com or Amazon, perhaps. Might be a little more. I bought mine a few years ago. Verse 2, God then outlines the promises. What are we told? He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. He then says he will bless those who bless, let's see, I don't want to get this right. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then the spiritual promise is outlined in the last sentence, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This particular set of scripture is what we call Abraham's calling, because it involved a choice, right? A calling always involves a choice. We have to follow God, or we continue to follow self. That's the choice that's given to Abram here in this particular section. Go with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. God's calling always involves a choice. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 26. This is as Moses is recounting the history of Israel after they've been brought out of Egypt. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, he says here, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside to the way, or from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known. It's a choice. And we know the choice, right? One way leads to death. The other way leads to life. There's a lot of pieces that go with each side of those equations. So it's the calling of Abram. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says that this particular section in Genesis had two imperatives. The first was to get out or to leave the country. That's interesting because they also make the comment in the middle of the blessing there that you will be a blessing. That phrase actually in the Hebrew is more of a command. It's written as we see it in the New King James, more of an addition or a explanation. But really in the Hebrew, it's really a command to be a blessing, to be a blessing. So I was reflecting on that a little bit, and we can tie in several scriptures, and I'm not going to turn there, but I would like to give them to you for reference. You think about Ezekiel 34, verses 26 and 27, where God talks about the covenant of peace that will be given in the future when Jesus Christ is ruling. The phrase in there is about Israel will be a blessing. God is going to again use the nation of Israel to be a blessing to the entire earth. He called them to do that initially. They failed. But in the future, when the kingdom is established, they will be a blessing. This is the instruction that's given to Abram. I would also reference Zechariah chapter 8, verse 13. You can reference that. It says that God will save Israel so that they can be a blessing. Save Israel to be a blessing. And then I would also reference Isaiah 49 and verse 6, talking about Jesus Christ, that mentions there that he will be salvation to the whole earth. So when we have this phrase given to Abram, it's really very forward-looking. It's not just given to Abram as a physical thing at that time. It's very forward-looking into God's plan to be a blessing. Let me continue with the comments from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It says, Abram's calling had a purpose. His obedience would bring a great blessing. to bring a great blessing. And we still have and experience that blessing today in the nation that we live and the Israelitish nations that are scattered across this globe. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Remember I said this was Abram's calling. It involves a choice. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. How did Abram choose? Genesis 12, verse 4. Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He chose life. That's what he did. He trusted God and the offering that was being given, and he chose life. He departed. So what we see here is this promise is a physical promise, land and other blessings, what we often term as national blessings, and then also a spiritual promise, which is salvation for all of mankind. So let's break this down some more. Let's go on to section number 2. Section number 2, and that is the physical promises. We see here in Genesis 12 that there's tremendous promises that are outlined. Let's go back one more page to chapter 13, because there's more specifics that are given to us. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. What are we told here? The Lord said to Abram in Genesis 13 verse 14, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. So remember, this is after they've separated. Lot and Abram have separated. Lot chose the plains, right? It was well watered. And Abram was given a different territory. Lift your eyes and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, and west. All the land which you see, I will give you and your descendants forever. So as far as he could see, God was going to give as a blessing and a promise to him. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk through the land, its length and its width, for I give it to you. So Abram moved his tent, went and dwelt by the Terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. If you'd like to do a fascinating study, do a study on Hebron. It's amazing what God uses for physical places that really kind of attract us to part of his plan. Now keep in mind, when God gave these, Abram had nothing. He didn't have descendants, and he had no possessions other than what he traveled and brought with him. He didn't have a permanent home. And God says, I'm going to give you descendants and all this land. And he has neither. He had nothing permanent. Because he gave up anything of prominence when they left Ur and then when they left Haran. He's dwelling in tents. We like to camp. But you know what? I kind of have gotten past the tenting days. Air mattresses aren't so comfortable anymore. Now, they probably didn't have air mattresses, but they had other things, maybe multiple blankets and that kind of thing. But I think you understand the analogy, right? You're traveling and you're moving. It's not always comfortable. It's not always enjoyable. And this is the life that he lived. Go with me back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. I want to read this again from the New Living, and this will be the last scripture from the New Living. Hebrews 11, verse 9 through 11 in the New Living. He has no children, no permanent possessions, and God has promised all these things to him. Hebrews 11, 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. So, let's look at a couple words from this passage. synonym. He was waiting with confident expectancy. He was waiting with confident expectancy. Are you waiting for anything with confident expectancy? How about the change from our mortal body to the immortal body? Job refers to it, I will wait until my change comes. We know Philippians 3, right? I will wait, eagerly wait, till the transformation of my body. This is what's going through the mind of Abraham, or Abram is still called at this point. The confident belief that God will fulfill what he's told him. He knew with absolute certainty that God would do it. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Let's go over there. Excuse me. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Romans 4 verse 16. What are we told here? It is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. We read that. In the presence of him, that is God, whom he believed. And then we're told, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. See, Abraham was a traveler. He had nothing permanent. But we're told he believed. And it was contrary to hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Again, he had nothing permanent. He lived in tents. He didn't have any children. And he believes God enough to do what God asks. So in Genesis 15, God makes a covenant with him. And then in Genesis 17, his name's changed, right? From Abram to Abraham. And from Sarai to Sarah. Father of many nations and mother of many nations. And they're still waiting. They're still waiting. Remember his response when he went to sacrifice Isaac? He takes a servant with him. And they go, they carry the wood. And there's no lamb, but he says, we will return. The lad and I will return. Absolute belief in God. And then he says, when his son says, well, what about the lamb? That's Isaac. And he says, God will provide. Absolute faith in the promise that God gave. He'd heard God promise it multiple times. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 7. Multiple times God said, I'm going to do this. And it had not happened yet. And he still goes through to sacrifice Isaac. He trusted God absolutely to fulfill the promise. We're here in Hebrew. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 17. They're all physical promises at this point. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So the idea behind that is, as he raised the knife to slay his son, he had literally in his mind killed Isaac, even though he hadn't committed it in the physical sense. Because he realized with absolute trust that God could resurrect that seed who he told him would be the descendant. It's quite an amazing story. And this is why it's one of our fundamentals of belief, because the promise of salvation comes from these promises. What were the physical promises that were given? Well, Isaac is passed on to him in Genesis chapter 26. Let's go back there. Genesis 26, verse 1. We read briefly what it was promised to Abraham. Here in Genesis 26, it's passed on to Isaac. The Lord appeared to him in verse 2, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you. Bless you, for to you and your descendants I will give all these lands. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." So again, the wording is still given almost the same to Isaac. Genesis chapter 28, it's reiterated to Jacob. He's told there that they will be an assembly of peoples, and the blessing of Abraham would be placed on them. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 48, because we're not going to go through the whole story of the lifetime of Jacob, but we know that the two sons of Joseph are made a part of the family, Ephraim and Manasseh, Genesis 48, verse 15. Joseph brings them before his father to bless them. In Genesis 48:15, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Let's continue. "When Joseph saw that his father laid the right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it. Joseph said, 'Not so,' but his father refused and said, 'I know my son, he also shall become a people. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations.'" So the promises are expanded as they're passed down through the lineage. They're expanded and clarified. How was this all possible? Let's go back to Genesis 26. Sometimes we may wonder why we try to be so faithful to our Father and do the physical things and obedience. Genesis 26, verse 5, "This is all possible because what we're told here. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws." Through obedience, this was going to be possible. So is God interested in us following him? Yeah, absolutely. Does God want to know what's in our heart to go forward in faith as we live our life? Yeah, he does. That's why it's so important for us to, when we learn and realize how we need to change and grow, that we do those things. That's why we have the Holy Day Plan, to help us understand what God is working out. The fulfillment of these promises was delayed because Israel's, or Jacob's, descendants were enslaved in Egypt. But the fascinating part about that, it was part of God's plan too. Go back and read Genesis 15 and verse 16. What is Abraham told initially? "Well, your descendants will be enslaved. And in the fourth generation, I'll bring them out." This whole story is about God's faithfulness to his servants. Don't ever doubt God. What God is doing, how he's working in your life, what he's developing in us, never doubt God. His promises are faithful. He will bring them to pass as he brings us through to his kingdom. The promises then were offered to a nation, weren't they? The nation of Israel, after they came out of Egypt. We won't go through that. Exodus 6. God then details his plans in Exodus 19. We don't have time to go through these things. I would encourage you to do them later. If you want a very detailed study, go through this booklet, United States and Britain in Prophecy. Absolute truth of the faithfulness of God. The nation still exists today. The descendants of Israel still exist. God's hand is still on them. God will still use those descendants in a mighty way in the future. In fact, our latest magazine talks about the righteousness and the faithfulness of God. The lead article by Scott Ashley talks about it. The kingdom that we see across the pond are the descendants that have come down through history. It's fascinating. Is God faithful? Absolutely. Why is he faithful? That's his character. But he gave it to a man who was faithful to him. And that promise continues. From the fundamentals of belief, it says there were only brief periods of greatness under a few righteous kings, but because of God's faithfulness, he eventually would bless Abraham's descendants with greatness that he foretold. The descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh received the blessing of ascendance to national greatness. Ephraim has become the promised company of nations, which we know as Great Britain, the Commonwealth, and Manasseh became the great nation of the United States. And it's through these people that the prophecies of the Bible concerning Israel will be fulfilled. It's an amazing story. And you can read it all in Genesis. And God is still faithful. But I want to spend a lot of time on section number 3, and that is our spiritual promises. Let's go back to Genesis 12 and verse 3. Genesis 12 and verse 3. This is the spiritual promise. Again, I would encourage you to read our booklet as it goes through much more detailedly the physical promises. But the spiritual promise is why we're here today. Genesis 12, 3, the last sentence, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the promise of salvation that God offers. Forgiveness of sin, the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit, to be given eternal life in the God family. How do we know this? Let's connect this scripture with Galatians 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. We connect the dots. Galatians 3 verse 8. The scripture, "Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles," that is anyone not a part of the physical nation of Israel, "seeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." That's how it's connected. The physical promise, the spiritual promise is connected through the lineage of Jesus Christ. How would God bring this about? Verse 16. "To Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say to seeds, as of many, but as of one, that is to your seed, which is Christ. It's through Jesus Christ, the seed to whom the promises are made. So I have another slide. Whoops, I left. Pretty straightforward. I think you know this already, but it's important that we understand and see it. That the lineage comes through Judah. You can read Luke chapter 3 and also Matthew chapter 1. You see the lineage that's there. In Luke 1, we're given the lineage of Abraham through David. In Luke 3, we're given the lineage from David through Mary. Is God precise? Yes. God is precise. If he can project the history of 14 generations three times to go from Abraham all the way to the lineage of Christ, you better believe he's precise. Does he have it worked out for his plan to be completed? Yes, he does. The seed of Abram comes through Judah down through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians 3. Let's drop on down to verse 26. This is where we started with the message. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. All are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we become one in Jesus Christ through baptism. We're not going to cover those verses, but that's how this is connected. Let's go back to Romans chapter 15. God fulfilled his promise. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. Romans 15 and verse 8. Paul confirms that God did fulfill his promise. Romans 15 verse 8. I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. He shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him, the Gentiles, shall have hope. So, if the lineage hadn't gone through Judah, there's no hope for you and I, because we're not part of the physical descendants of Israel. But through God's plan, through what God offers, we have an opportunity to be a part of God's family. It's amazing because of one person, the faithfulness of Abram. God used him to start his plan, to initiate what we can experience today. God's promise to Abraham is about salvation, which God offers through the Holy Spirit as a part of the new covenant. And the Holy Spirit can be offered. Why? Because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God does a wonderful work. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. As the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. What connects us? God's Spirit. God's Spirit connects us, which is made available through what Christ did, living and dying in the flesh. God's Spirit is what makes this possible. Let's go through that. God's Spirit makes obedience possible. You can reference John 16 and John 14. God's Spirit is what grafts us into Israel. Read the story from Romans 9 and through chapter 11. Romans 9 through 11. It grafts us into Israel. God's Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. Let's read that. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. God has to take flesh and make it spirit. And He can only do that through the seed of His Spirit. This is all connected back to the promises that we read in Genesis 12. God's Spirit is also how we know that we're the children of God. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. That's not quite a good translation. Spirit of sonship, I believe is a little bit more clarified there. By whom we cry out, or by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That Spirit connects us to God. It makes us His children. And what does that mean? Verse 16 then, it makes us heirs of salvation. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The spiritual promise is quite amazing. The promise of God's Spirit is based on God's calling, which is individual repentance. It's not based on race. It's not based on our physical descendants. It's based on God's calling. God chooses who He's going to be part of His family at different time periods. The new covenant is called a better covenant because it has a better promise. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. It's a much greater promise. Physical promises are wonderful. God gives them. We appreciate them. But the spiritual promise, the reason we're here today is because of the spiritual promise given in Genesis chapter 12. 1 John 5 and verse 11, what are we told here? This is the greater promise that we look forward to. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning. Wrong chapter, sorry. That's chapter 3. 1 John 5, verse 11. 1 John 3 is good too. 1 John 5, verse 11. This is the testimony that God has given us. Let me start over. This is the testimony, colon. God has given us eternal life. And that life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Are you certain that the seed that has been planted in you will be changed to give you an immortal body? We should be certain of that. God gave it. He doesn't want to retract it. It's a promise. And we should believe it with absolute certainty. That the seed, as long as we remain faithful, will be used to transform us into the Son of God. spiritual body, spiritual mind, completeness. None of the crazy sin that we deal with now, none of the crazy thoughts that we have. A sound mind, perfect, like our Creator. That's what God will do. That's the greater promise. So what happens? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. Galatians 6:15. In Christ Jesus, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. That's what God is working in us, a new creation. As many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them. And upon what? The Israel of God. Not a nation. The Israel of God. A spiritual family that God is growing. He's developing. The Israel of God. Just as the physical descendants came through history, God is creating a spiritual family that He calls the Israel of God. Now we look forward to the future. Jesus Christ is going to establish His new covenant with Israel and with Judah. We can read about those things in the prophets. But the church, us, this gathering that we're here today, is a forerunner of the physical nation that God will use to be an example to the whole world. The church is an example of that. That will be in existence of God's kingdom. The Israel of God. God will create another physical nation in the future. So where does that leave us? Be glad for your spiritual family tree. Be thankful for it. All of us are here because of the spiritual promise to Abraham. There's no other way. God knew His plan. He outlined it. He called an individual who was faithful. That those descendants came through time. Jesus Christ was grafted as a part of that. And we have God's plan now set in motion. The promises that are given to Abraham details the amazing plan of salvation. God has called us and He's offered us His Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, Abraham's seed. And the ultimate fulfillment of that promise is eternal life in the God family.